and welcome to Ed and Friends. My name is Ed. I'm an improviser from London. And we have been working very hard at Podcast Adventures for something. We've been keeping it quiet. We've been teasing it. But now we can finally announce what it is. We're super excited to do it. Podcast Adventures got sent a script for a radio serial from a friend of mine, and we're producing it. We're actually going to do a radio play, a sitcom. It's a film noir sitcom about a zombie private detective, and really, what could be better? It's all my favourite things wrapped in one. It's called Dead Drunk Detective, and you can watch it being recorded live in London on Saturday the 24th of September, the 15th of October, and the 22nd of October. And you can listen every Monday in October as we drop a spooky new episode into your podcast feeds. And we have the pleasure of having the writer of Dead Drunk Detective in the Podcast Adventure Studio today. Please welcome to Ed and Friends, Brendan Way!
Woo! Hello!
Hello! I decided to do the lonely clapping.
I joined in out of pity.
Ah, very good, thank you. It's finally happening. Dead Drunk Detective is finally happening. Are you excited?
It's been in the pipeline for a long time. Like, the first script I just wrote for fun after hearing the phrase zombie noir, and now eventually, yeah, this is quite good. I know some people would be good for these voices. Maybe I should actually approach someone to do it.
Oh, good. Well, I'm really glad to be working with you on this. It's super exciting. And I'm billing this as a zombie noir, but perhaps you should be the one to explain what Dead Drunk Detective is all about.
Okay, Dead Drunk Detective is a series of 10-minute comedy zombie murder mysteries with a drunk detective, as all film noirs, but he's a zombie, and he lives in a district where you've got Dracula, the devil, demons. So it's like Marple, but if, you know, instead of a Rusty or Colonel, you were interviewing the bogeyman, or the victim was a werewolf, stuff like that.
Nice. And sort of, I guess it's sort of Marple meets the Munsters.
Yeah. Funnily enough, when I was younger, I did write a story that crossed those characters over, because I'd seen there's a Scooby-Doo episode, Scooby-Doo and the Werewolf, Reluctant Werewolf, in which Dracula and the werewolf and skeletons and mummies are all together. So I've always been inspired by that sort of merging of universes.
Oh, awesome. I didn't know that. Oh, great. So when was the genesis of Dead Drunk Detective?
I wrote the script probably 2013, 2015, and just left it. And then occasionally when I back up my computer, I'm just reading old files for fun, read this one. I was like, if I have a spare afternoon, I might write more of these.
Oh, nice.
I had this habit, it goes back to childhood. If I had a spare afternoon, I would just write stupid jokes, punning jokes, inspired by the punning stylings of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, which is a radio show that precursed to The Goodies, had John Cleese and The Goodies in. And I'd like to say my jokes have gotten better, but one of the characters in this show is a sexy skeleton called Reba Cage. I've written extended parodies before, just stuff that I wouldn't plan. I would just have three jokes in mind and then just see what happens. So I did an extended parody of Robin Hood. I did an extended parody of Wizard of Oz. I did one of Christmas Carol and actually produced it myself for a drama project at uni. And the lead of that, Ebenezer Scrooge, was Dan Luxton, who is now an ensemble player in Dead Drunk Detective.
Yay!
So it's fun how these things come around.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, it just goes to show that if you want to write something, just get up and do it. If you've got some free time, write some jokes, write a script. Why not, man?
Yeah, absolutely. Just write for fun. It doesn't have to go anywhere. And also read your old notebooks. Researching for this interview, trying to find out the genesis, I did just read like 20 notebooks and just look at all these dumb jokes and scripts and go, oh yeah, that was the journey, and oh, I could resurrect that.
One thing I love about the series, and you know, no one's actually heard this series yet. It's basically just been you, me, and a few Scan actors. And Catherine from Podcast Adventures, of course. But yeah, I can't wait for people to hear it, because it is just fun, loving silliness. There are moments of tension, and there are escalating narratives that are fun to listen to. But there's a real joy in just a good pun. Would you say that's particularly your style, or is that something that you specifically did for this project?
I've always liked puns because of I'm Sorry, I Read That Again. But actually, in rewriting it, I did have to take out several jokes that were too much that style. And just playing off, like, ambiguous its. Just dumb, silly jokes. And I had to also... Originally, the first script was more of a film noir parody, so the narration was... It was a Tuesday, I know that instinctively, but also I've got a calendar on my watch. It was a... for a while, I was in the frame, but then the picture changed. And dumb jokes like... like that. And I changed it so it's more still my style, but less other people's style.
Sure, sure. And also, I guess, plays on the archetype, I guess, or plays on the genre.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Funnily enough, I've not actually heard that much film noir, but because of improv, I've sort of gathered it from osmosis. There's a femme fatale, you know there's a drunk detective who has a sarky secretary.
That's interesting, actually. I mean, because it is one of those suggestions that always comes up. If you if you ask an audience for a genre, it'll almost always feature film noir, sci-fi, or porn. I'm glad you chose film noir, by the way.
Radio porn would be interesting.
Well, you'd be surprised. Well, actually, there's a very famous podcast now that's my dad wrote a porno.
Oh, yeah. In which they read an erotica book.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're commenting on it. Nobody's written a straight narrative. That's my next project I'd like to announce today.
So you haven't watched that much film noir then? Like, you haven't seen, like, The Big Sleep or Casablanca or...
No, I've read one of the... Chandler.
I've read
one of Chandler's.
Well, I guess that's more legit than watching, like, you know, the man who wasn't there or something like that. Because Raymond Chandler's the guy. He's the guy, right?
He's the hard-boiled film detective. And also, the shows are 10 minutes. It's not going to be an extended parody. In fact, I've taken out all contemporary references. It's like the world of the show exists in a bubble, this weird universe.
Considering that you came up with a number of them, what made this one the one to do now?
It was fun. I looking back at the old scripts and the dates between them, like, I'd written two or three by August last year, and then there was like a 4-month gap when I tried to write a sitcom. I tried to write a detective show in which brothers and sisters ended up working together in a detective agency, which I then later incorporated into Dead Drunk Detective as a plot point. I don't have it in me to write drama, so these 10-minute silly things I could write in 2 days were much easier to write, something I actually enjoyed. Whereas writing a sitcom, I didn't have enough plot. Writing the drama, I just couldn't bring myself to write. Writing is meant to be enjoyable, and I was just like trying to force myself into going, well, what's their background and what's their motivation and how would that come out? And 10-minute silly things where you've got a simple, this character is this, he's a werewolf, so he should act like a dog. Just silly, simple games was much easier for me to write.
Well, considering that you're not too interested in dramatic arcs and stuff like that, I think your characters have a really great transition through the episodes, and from the episodes, there are genuine highs and lows for the characters. But what are your other influences when you sit down to write something like this?
Because it's essentially a 10-minute extended parody, also, not only do I'm Sorry, I Read That Again do that, the Lee Mack Show did that, so that's very punny. So that was an influence in the first draft when it was all puns and no substance. Early on, I was writing in the style of Mitch and Webb, and then later John Finnemore, who wrote for Mitch and Webb, and John Finnemore also ends his shows on a 10-minute parody because of I'm Sorry, I Read That Again. So yeah, these smart English writers who did a lot of parodies and puns.
Okay. Do you incorporate anything from your personal life in? I mean, all writers do, but is there anything...
I am, in fact, a drunk zombie.
Sorry, I should have said this up top. You know, theatre of the mind, got to paint the scene, yes.
To answer that question, no. I have written editorials in which I talk about an opinion I actually hold. When I did stand-up briefly, I tried out all the forms, sketch, podcasting, improv. When I did stand-up, it was vaguely autobiographical, but I say up top that there's no real point in, you know, I'm not going to tell you my address or anything like that, to which someone heckled, "Where do you live? Idiot." You don't need to know. Yeah, I'm not one of those people, if I have a breakup, I'm going to write a play about it or a song. I'm not scared of it. It's just a comedy I just write about, you know, talking zombies or animals, their feelings, silly stuff like that.
Do you have any sisters in your family, for instance? Because obviously you've said that you had a brother-sister detective agency.
Yes.
There's a sister character in Dead Drunk Detective. Do you have a sister?
No, but the sister character in Aja was actually based on a friend. But yeah, I was actually thinking of a relationship I have with a real life girl.
Okay.
Not a romantic relationship, a friendly banter relationship.
Yeah, yeah. We often talk about, like, on this show, there's a kind of a theme brewing of people that just aren't waiting for permission to go and do their own thing. the idea that someone has to give you a gold star before you can go and make your go and trekking through the Arctic or set up your own improv company or whatever. It's funny the number of people that we've had of that have just wanted to do something, just got up and done it, and it's a great thing. But what made you say, right, let's just make a radio sitcom? Why now?
Specifically, I'd finished the scripts, I think. I saw you and Kat of Podcast Adventures produce a live podcast. I was thinking, I have produced podcasts on my own, but that's me in a mic or me in a university studio. I don't know how to bring stuff to a live audience, and you guys have the know-how and the platform.
Oh, cool. So it's I get the credit.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, okay. So what is it about writing that you enjoy?
It's something I'm good at. It's just silly. It's just an escape from this depressing, fractured world. No, it just amuses me to for the dead end writing, fill in the gaps. I love callback setups. For that reason, Back to the Future is one of my favorite films because it's got to have plant and payoffs for jokes, for the fact that it's time travel and they're referring to stuff from the past and the present.
So you're a structural.
I'm a massive structure nerd. That's why I love improv and comedy, because you do callbacks. I love detective stuff because you do plant and payoffs and clues. So that's why I've written so many self-contained flash fictions about Dick Holden, because you can do a case in a story in like one page. I like writing sketches because, again, you develop in as an improv one game, play it, hit it, end punchline. And these essentially are longer sketches. It's a... You say it's a sitcom. It is essentially a lot of funny interactions with characters. Move on, next character. What's your part in this mystery? So I've written this essentially because it combines mystery, sketch, jokes, puns. It's everything I've wanted to do in a show. And in fact, this is my first narrative show. Like, the podcasts I've told you were game shows. I've written like one-off plays. I've written sketches. But this is the first recurring thing that has characters that I have to write again and again. And if we decide to do a second series, that'll be really interesting, because I will have to have the actors' voices in my head. I will have actual proof of what's happened beforehand. So I have to go back into that voice and see if I can do it again.
Fantastic. Well, if you want to be in the audience for season one, go to our website, podcastadventures.com/deaddrunk. We've got all the details on there. And our live recordings are on the 24th of September, the 15th of October, and the 22nd of October. And then you can subscribe and download to new episodes every Monday in October on SoundCloud, iTunes, and Acast. Brendan, what else have you been working on?
This is the main thing I have going on at the moment.
Yay!
But if you want to see my group do improv, we're going to be in Dublin on the 12th of November for the Irish Improv Fest.
Oh, awesome. What's your group called?
The Parentheticals.
Nice.
Parentheticals.
And featuring several cast members of Dead Drunk Detective.
Yes, including our recurring lead, Betty, is played by Kate Oswald. We've also got character roles from Gilad Amit and Charles Shearer.
Nice. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, dude. And thank you so much for sending us your scripts. Like, this has been a really fun experience, and it's going to be really enjoyable to do. And hopefully you guys at home will be enjoying it.
It's been wonderful collaborating with you too.
Ah, thank you, dude. Thank you. Brendan Way, lonely clapping. But before we let you go, we love to play a little parlor game before we let our guests leave the studio. We've decided we're going to play an old favourite of this podcast, which is the elevator pitch. So Brendan and I are going to give each other titles to films, novels, radio serials, podcasts, whatever, a title of something that we will then have 30 seconds to improvise an elevator pitch, a short synopsis telling us exactly what this project is. Title of your movie is Welcome Raven.
Raven is the newest inhabitant in a village of witches. She's come as a mortal. She's a goth. She's got the witch name, but none of the powers. And she's been sent there because she's not got along with the regular kids, the normal kids at school. And so she's been sent on this exchange trip. So they've sent a witch to her school, which actually sounds like the better movie. Maybe that'll be the sequel.
That's good. I like that. It's like a sort of a Sabrina the Teenage Witch meets Hogwarts or meets Harry Potter. That sounds great. I'd watch that.
Yeah. After the porn show, that's my next project.
Exactly, of course. Okay, throw me another title.
Rainbow Warriors.
Rainbow Warriors. Oh, this is great. This is a good old-fashioned superhero team-up. This is like Power Rangers or Thundercats. Rainbow Warriors, there are seven heroes, all spunky young teenagers that all embody a different color, and each color is attached an emotion, kind of like Green Lantern, and together they form this spectrum of emotion, and they fight evil, and in particular they fight the evil of emotional indifference and apathy. At least I managed to get that one out.
I love that they fight apathy.
Yeah.
We're going to take you down.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Your next title is Behind the Tape.
Behind the Tape is a documentary about duct tape, which is, as we know, the force that holds the universe together. So we interview some techies. We interview people at the post office. We interview people in moving companies. We show you how it's made, because obviously I have no clue and I'm really interested in finding out. And that's it. Friendly Fire.
Friendly Fire. Friendly Fire is a Studio Ghibli movie about a flame that becomes sentient, and a little girl wanders through the forest, finds the sentient flame, and tries to put it out, thinking it's a forest fire. As a result, the little girl becomes a flame as well, and it turns out the elements are entirely sentient. Fire, water, earth, they have mystical sprites and an entire community that's at threat from the forces of man that are attacking the environment for the resources.
Yeah. I didn't want to stop you. I was like, yeah, that does sound like a Studio Ghibli.
Well, it's basically Princess Mononoke meets like House Moving Castle, right?
I was exactly thinking House Moving Castle. With the flame voiced by, in that version, in our dubbed version, Billy Crystal.
Yeah, exactly. Calcifer, that's his name. Oh. Your movie title subject is Alpaca.
This is a DreamWorks animated film, talking alpacas who are fed up of being in a petting zoo, so they stage a breakout, investigate New York. So it's kind of a rip-off of Madagascar, which I think was actually made by DreamWorks. So they're ripping off their own stuff. But it's a pack of alpacas. One likes to be ridden and pet, but they're overshadowed and outshouted by the other alpacas. Speculative cast, Bruce Willis, Alison Brie, Nick Offerman, Vin Diesel. I'm just going to waste time and name people.
That's the thing, you went over a minute ago, but I just wanted to hear what the cast was. And that was Elevator Pitch. Woo!
I've applauded both times louder and longer than you have. Brendan Way, yeah!
Thank you so much for being on the podcast, buddy. If you've enjoyed listening to Ed and Friends, you can find more episodes at podcastadventures.com, where you can also find episodes of Sketch Please and the upcoming episodes of Dead Drunk Detective. You can also follow on Facebook and Twitter. Subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, Acast. I have been Ed. These have been my friends. Thank you very much. See you next week. Goodbye. Clapping louder or not?